family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We are excited, I should say the word delighted, that you are here because Christy loves when I use the word delighted, that you are listening
in
today.
It's so funny because you use that word and I'm not sure I've ever heard you use it in your normal life. That's why I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's because I am delighted.
I am just so delighted that you're here.
That was a pretty good accent.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to start today. We're going to do some Q&A today. You guys have had some amazing questions and we're just so appreciative of that. We're going to start today with some Q&A, but before we do, I'm going to begin with, we mentioned that we're going to talk about some testimonials, some ways that people are listening to the podcast, things that, ways that it impacts them, and so we're just excited and grateful that you guys are sharing it with other friends and other parents in the season of life, raising kids, and so this one I'm going to read. A friend recommended the In This Together podcast to me about 6 months ago, and I have since subscribed and look forward to each week to the newest podcast episode. I've shared them with my husband, who is also now a weekly subscriber, and we love unpacking the messages together after we've both listened. Thank you for doing that. Like, that's really amazing.
I love that.
To hear husband and wife doing that. I'm a stay-at-home mom with 4 kids ranging from ages 9 to 3. The message of this podcast always hit me right where I am, and they are real and relevant. I also listen while folding laundry or driving in the car. For a while, we were in survival stage with babies and toddlers just trying to keep them alive. We know what that's like, and we only have half the children you do. Now, as we are moving into a different season of raising our kids, the meat of these messages is like parenting gold to us. Thank you so much for all that you do and putting this podcast together. Our family has been so blessed by it.
Well, thank you. That's pretty cool to hear.
It's very cool to hear because we get to do this and talk about this. And I genuinely think that what keeps us going is hearing from you and the community we get to have. I mean, you're like your family to us. And so if we just want to encourage you to continue to reach out, leave reviews on iTunes because it allows more people to see it and hear about it. So if you are a regular listener, please go do that. And it'll help more parents and families find out about the podcast. So.
And it's really cool, I think, for especially for me, because Josh is the one who he travels and speaks a lot more. Childcare is the thing, so.
I go speak about parenting, and you stay home and do it.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. So he gets to go out and actually meet so many people who are like, I listen to the podcast, and it's like you get to meet part of your people, like your community, and he gets to meet you in real life. But when I get to read these, it makes me feel like you really exist and I get to meet you too. So I am so thankful. So thank you so much for your feedback. It's just, you feel like friends and I hope we feel like that to you as well. We are going to go through some questions today. All of them are awesome and relevant and I think you'll pull something from all of them. And so we're going to start with this one. My question relates to the spiritual life of my 5-year-old daughter. I'm a pastor's kid, so I was brought up in a very legalistic but loving family. I went astray for a few years of my life, but I know for certain that my parents' prayer is what kept me not too far, that I could not come back to Jesus. My husband was brought up in a semi-Christian home where his mom was and is a very devoted Christian, but his dad was and is not. I don't question his dad's salvation, as I do believe in my heart he has been saved. He just doesn't live his life in a Christian way. We both love the Lord, we both serve in the church and are leaders, but we have definitely have different views of what it is to live a Christian life. I am more on the legalistic side, where I put all the burden on him being the head of the family. I feel that if I don't say, let's read the Bible or let's pray, we don't do it. And so it makes me mad that I have to be the one initiating these things to the point that I just don't do it and we don't do it at all. And so I enter into this guilt trip where if I don't do it, my fear is that my daughter will not grow up in a godly home. My husband is the type that does things when they matter most. He feels that if we serve in an area of a church, we do not need to be involved in anything else. I, on the other hand, go on the other side of the extreme of having to be involved in everything the church offers, to the point that it gives me anxiety if we don't. We've had a lot of discussions on this topic. I've prayed and read a lot on the matter, and I know that I'm an extremist and that my husband, again, does love the Lord above all and loves us too unconditionally. How do I let go of the legalistic way of thinking? No matter what my decision is, I feel like I'm letting someone down. And if I feel like my daughter is living in an unstable environment when it comes to our spiritual lives.
So the balance here is you grew up in a legalistic home, but you both grew up in a what you consider a loving environment. I think the question, we need to begin the question with this, is, and these are just questions. These are questions back to you. So if you grew up in a legalistic home, or if you're part of a family where, you know, you're kind of somewhat on different pages, it's not that you're unequally yoked here. It's that you feel unequally yoked because you feel like you need to experience rules and activities and be involved in order to feel closer to God, connected to God, that your daughter's going to feel connected to God. But I think what the first question you have to ask yourself is, why did you go astray? What led you to, you know, if you said in your question, if it wouldn't be for prayer, I wouldn't be walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, what led to that? What was it in your own upbringing? What was it in your own parents' home that allowed you to choose, or that you chose to go astray, or that you chose to go in a different direction? Because that's something you want to correct. And it sounds to me, and I don't know if I could be wrong here, but it sounds to me like you're carrying out the exact same patterns that your parents put on you in your own home. That's what I'm hearing, is that you grew up in a very legalistic, yet quote-unquote loving home, but yet you want to have all these rules, you want to do all these things, you want to be involved in all these activities, and you have this sense of feeling like you need to. Mm-hmm. And my question would be more for you is, why do you feel the need to do that? Why do you feel the need to be involved in every activity under the sun? I think that we, in our culture today, have this pressure to be involved in every activity under the sun. Unfortunately, it's not in church activities, but the church puts the pressure on us too. And so, what about your relationship with Christ? Like, where is your relationship, your ability to experience the love of Jesus, apart from feeling like you need to read the Bible, apart from feeling like you need to go to church or do all those things, which those things are very important. Please don't misunderstand me. But I think what I'm hearing is that there's a level that you feel like you have to be overly involved, mm-hmm, in order for your daughter to ever love Jesus or know Jesus, but yet that's the very thing that drove you away.
And what I'm picking up too is that as a woman, there is a sense of duty and guilt actually when you don't go to the nth degree. And I don't know if it's for the Lord, or you mentioned at the end, you feel like you're letting someone down, which if that's the expectations of those in the church or others, I would just caution you, forewarn you. I feel like that's a very difficult road you're going to walk down. If you're seeking the approval of others versus the presence of God, I think that's the difference. I think what you ultimately want for your daughter is the presence of God in your home, the relationship with God in your home. And that doesn't ever require of you to fulfill duties. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And he came so that we could choose him. He came so that we could desire to be in relationship with him. And none of those things require our service or our dutiful behavior. It just requires our hearts and our desire to be in his presence. And I would just encourage you that might be something you need to be set free from, an expectation or just a misconception. I think growing up in the church, it can get real convoluted. And I want you to be set free. I want your daughter to be set free, to know that there is a God who doesn't expect of you. He desires of you. And so my prayer for you and your daughter.
Oh, that is so good.
Is the presence of God in your home. And the presence of God in your home is going to feel free and loving. It is going to show up at church because it desires to be there to worship with other believers and to serve other believers out of a desire to love and be like Christ, not out of an expectation that this is required of you. And I think if you feel that freedom, your daughter will experience that freedom as well. And your husband, it sounds like your husband loves the Lord. And he might even just walk with a greater sense of freedom, maybe in his relationship, is what I pick up from that. I don't see him as being disobedient. Actually, I think he sounds like he has I don't know him, and it's obviously hard to pick up just from a few sentences, but I would just encourage you in your personal walk, you find the God that loves you unconditionally, regardless of what you do. I would guess in your life, you're a perfectionist and that you do everything to the nth degree, and that goodness has been required of you. And I know that intimately, because that's my story and my background as well. Mm-hmm. But if you can encounter a God who just desires you and your daughter's heart, I think she will follow after her mother, who follows after God.
That is so well said. And I agree from your husband's standpoint. It sounds like you're getting angry out of expectation that you have based upon what you think he should or shouldn't be doing from also your upbringing or whatever that looks like, or your expectation of God. And I think what Christy said there was so powerful. I want to restate it, that God desires of you. He doesn't expect of you. And I think what that means is that we love because he first loved us. It's our experiencing his love first that compels us to in turn want to serve other people and love other people. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, we lead a ministry called 22-6 Parenting. We'd love for you to check it out, 22-6parenting.com. But we have morning prayers and bedtime questions and things like that. And it's not every day that we read the Bible to our kids. I would actually encourage you to go listen to an interview we did with Matt and Lauren Chandler on the podcast earlier in season one, and listen to how they raise their kids, and listen to what they're, one of the things I think I've been learning from other real giants in the faith, if you will, and people who've lived and finished the race well, is this sense of it's the golden moments in life when your kids... When we disciple our kids, it's those golden moments. It's those moments where they've been bullied, or those moments when they've hit a rough patch in their life, where we're just present with them and we're able to pray with them and be with them. It's not this, ongoing legalistic, if you will, sense of every single night at 7 o'clock, we have to sit down and read the Bible together as a family, and that's what's going to lead them to Christ. It's how we live it. And it sounds like your husband's already got this unconditional love in his heart for his daughter. And man, that relationship right there is the single biggest thing that will lead her to Christ and show him who he is by him loving her and showing her Christ through him. And so I just,
can I tell a little story? Me think of something. I am one who has become a whole lot less guarded in letting others see my relationship with the Lord. I'm not doing it to put it on a billboard, on display obnoxiously. I'm just not hiding it anymore. And so that applies to my kids. And when we're in the car and we see an ambulance go by, I just start to pray for the family, and they pick up on that. And now they do it. The other day we were out on the boat and the motor wouldn't start. Like, we couldn't get it to start for almost 30 minutes. And I just started praying in the boat out loud, praying. And all of a sudden the motor started after 30 minutes. And my son looked at me and said, "Mom, it's because you prayed. Thanks for praying, Mom." And I was like, "Oh, sure. That was awesome. Thanks, buddy."
And I was like, "It's because your dad figured out how to choke it appropriately and get it right and get it started,
And so we went out, we were riding around for a while. And then all of a sudden the motor just cut out as we were going full speed. It just stopped. And our daughter sat in the front and just started singing a prayer. And if that motor didn't start back up like 30 seconds later, and I was like, honey, that's because you prayed. And I say that to just say, they just repeat what they see. They will model what they have seen modeled. And if we pray because it's just the natural rhythm of our life, if we talk to God because he is our breath and our being, they will do it too. It is so much less formal and rigid. And I think in 22:6, we've tried to create something where it gives you tools and questions and words and rhythms to implement into your family, especially when we're unsure and we don't have the creativity or the brain space to do it. But at the same time, we want you to know that this is should be out of the overflow of your relationship. And we would love to come alongside you and walk you down that road with you to get you into the presence of God more and more often. But until you're at that place and you yourself truly at that place, I don't think we can expect our kids to follow somewhere where we're not. And so I say to you moms and dads all listening, we need to get ourselves into the presence of the Most High so that we will draw our children into that presence. Before we try techniques or tools or stories or Bible memorization, I mean, that stuff is all good, but it becomes duty without the relationship.
And that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. And so I just want to encourage you to take that pressure off of yourself and to take the pressure off your husband, take pressure off of your daughter, and just create a rhythm in your home of just doing life together. And what she sees is what she will pick up. That's my biggest encouragement, is what she sees she'll pick up. So take the pressure off yourself. Go with your husband. Do one thing in the church and be okay with that, because you're serving. You're in the top 10% of the people who are serving in the church by doing one thing. And so don't run the family ragged.
Did you know that 94% of people who come to know Jesus do so before the age of 18?
That's a great statistic. But what does it mean for me as a parent? How do I teach my kids what loving God means or even looks like?
Welcome to 22:6 Parenting, a community of parents walking alongside each other to raise kids who love God and love others.
Created through the lens of child development research and grounded in Scripture, 22:6 puts the tools and ideas in your hands to be intentional without adding anything extra to your day.
22:6 has three main features. First is community. It is a shame-free community of parents encouraging one another in our most important role, that of mom and dad. Each month, we go live for a Facebook Q&A with the community.
Secondly is content. 22:6 provides the tools you need to talk about God to your kids. Built on the four key times of the day Moses encouraged to use in Deuteronomy chapter 6, each month's content includes morning prayers, dinner time stories, drive time games, and bedtime questions.
And then there's the coaching. Each month you'll receive a coaching video on that month's mile marker or the topic, with practical applications for how to foster character development and spiritual formation in your kids.
Learn more today at 22:6parenting.com. That is 22:6parenting.com.
Next question. Also actually talking about the climate of the home. But this one is from a grandmother. As a grandmother who really failed as a mother, but have sought and received full forgiveness from my son, praise the Lord, I am puzzled how to be a spiritual guide to my two grandsons, 9 and 12 years old. I don't get to be around them all the time, but I do visit frequently. My son and his wife do not have a passionate devotion to the Lord, but they do love him and want their children to be brought up in the church, which really didn't start until 2 years ago. The boys love church and have gone to church camp once last summer. When I asked my grandsons if they would like me to say nighttime prayers or read the Bible or anything that I would like to do to open the door to spiritual talks, they say no. I let it go at that. I grew up in a very strict religious home and was forced to do everything right. Interesting. So I guess I am asking for ideas to free our spiritual conversations up. Thank you for your prayers to lead all of us in the truth of leading our children in his wisdom and love.
Same thing. I think it is, and to grandparents listening, man, if you're a grandparent listening, You're awesome. We love you. And especially because we know a lot of grandparents who are raising their grandkids. And, you know, if you're raising your grandkids,
or just being very intentional in the life of their grandkids,
or being very intentional, that is a, because in this situation, you know, you got your grandsons with you or your grandkids, you know, again, if they're not wanting to pray at night, pray for them, you know, pray for them. Don't force things because it can just feel weird. This is my belief in growing up. And just, I want Jesus to be attractive to my kids. Mm-hmm. I want Jesus to be attractive to my kids. And I don't want to force some weird cultural Christianity activity onto my kids that just feels, awkward and doesn't feel right. We have our kids pray out loud with us. They repeat after us on a pretty regular basis. And that just has become natural to them and normal to them because they're learning to talk to Jesus. But at the same time, too, there are nights where they're just like, yeah, Dad, I don't want to pray tonight. Can you just pray for me? Sure, I'll pray over you, but I'm going to pray over them. And I think, again, and I say this often, but as I study the research and I look at Scripture, that our kids, I say that we can sum up in one, all the parenting research, that our kids will become who we are. And as grandparents as well, just model for them. Who you are bigger than life to your grandkids more than you realize. And parents, you are bigger to life to your kids more than you realize. And your presence and how you live your life and how you pray and how you, you know, what that looks like, what your individual life looks like. Our son woke up this morning. I was out in the back porch. I was reading my Bible. And he comes out and he starts reading the Bible with me. And what I did was, we have the children's Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app on my phone. And I stopped reading my Bible and we sat down and watched one of the YouVersion stories of the Bible together this morning. And he just joined me on my lap doing it. And he was excited because he got to watch my phone for about, you know, 10 minutes. But we also went through a Bible story together. You know, it didn't feel weird. It didn't feel awkward. It was just, hey, cool. Let's pull out the phone and let's do this. And so just make it the natural rhythm and flow of your everyday conversation and your home, and try not to force things that just doesn't, that feel weird to be forced.
And I think, just like to echo what Josh just said, the conversations I've had probably in the last, I think the last one was like a week ago. We're talking about how we were raised and our parents and stuff, and talking about like spiritual legacy. And can I tell you the one thing that most people come back to if they were raised in a Christian home that impacted them for the positive and they've remained faithful and have followed after Christ? It's they have said something to the effect of, I would wake up and I would see my mom with her Bible open every morning. I would wake up and I'd see my dad on his knees praying. I would wake up and I would see my mom, you know, praying on the phone with a friend. It was something where it wasn't talked about. It wasn't something that was explained to them. It wasn't a story told to them. It wasn't a book they read. It wasn't a devotional they did. It was because they saw the life of someone following after Christ. And in this case, it was their mom or dad. But I say, Grandma, that's exactly the same for you. If you stay over night, I think you said you live about 120 miles away, and you wake up and you read your Bible, your grandsons may never say a word about it, but they will know and be curious their whole life. What is it she's reading every morning? Why does she always do that? I know our daughter, just a few weeks ago, I sit on the back porch and I have my Bible and my journal in the mornings, and she came out with this little ratty Bible that used to be mine, like in high school, that she's found. It's like purple leather Bible thing. And she carries it around everywhere with her, which I find so interesting. And she comes out and she said, Mom, I want to come out and read with you too. And then she notices I have a journal. So she's like, I would really like one of those. She's like, what do you use it for? And I said, I just write my thoughts. I write to God and I write my thoughts. I sometimes write prayers or about my day. And so now she has her little Bible and her journal, and I didn't ask her to do it. I've never required her. In fact, I'm probably the parent in our family who's the least rigid or structured in terms of, like, I'm not great with Bible stories. I'm not great with, you know, teaching them verses. I'm more of the nature, I just want you to see the rhythm of my life and that we worship, I worship a God who is present in all of our moments. And that means in the kitchen, that means when we're folding laundry, that means when we're fighting, that means, you know, when we're out on the boat and the motor doesn't start. And I just hope that frees all of us to feel that if you feel like you're not making the most of the time, or you don't have some sort of formal structure of teaching your kids the Bible, they're just watching you live.
And I would encourage you to get the book Safe House. We obviously wrote a book called Safe House, How Emotional Safety is the Key to Raising Kids Who Live, Love, and Lead Well. And in that, I talk about four different walls of parenting and four different parenting styles that come out of that, or parenting tendencies, I should say. And one of those is the religious parent or the legalistic parent. And it sounds like the questions we've gotten today are questions that come out of kids who were raised in legalistic homes. And I want to just really encourage you. There was a, I'm a researcher. I love to study research. I love to study data. And this is going to fascinate you. So parents, grandparents, listen up. There was a 35-year longitudinal study done, which a longitudinal study following people for 35 years is a remarkable research study. But a guy named Vern Bangston, who's the university professor of gerontology and sociology, emeritus and research professor of social work at USC, University of Southern California. Okay. He was actually elected president of the Gerontological Society of America and was twice been granted a merit award from the National Institute on Aging for this particular longitudinal study of the generations. And he wrote a book based on this 35-year longitudinal study. And that book is Families and Faith: How Religion is Passed Down Across the Generations. And basically, and I say all that to say, this study was done by a very well-respected, renowned researcher at the University of Southern California, and he distilled faith transmission from generation to generation down into one primary factor, and that was this: relational warmth. Mm. Relational warmth. So your ability to be warm in relationship, and I think this is echoed throughout Scripture over and over and over again, that it is not works-based, it is relationship-based. And when we are relationally warm with our kids, particularly, and I'm going to emphasize this because this is critical throughout all of research, particularly from a father to a child, that is a cornerstone. The father is a cornerstone relationship, because we see our heavenly father the way we see tend to see our earthly fathers. And so I just want to encourage you that as you think about, man, do I need to be doing this Bible study, or do I need to be involved in this activity, or do I need to be, you know, doing X, Y, and Z? As Christy has stated, as I've stated, when we live it out in such a way that we remain warm with our kids, that is the key to faith transmission. And when I experience my Heavenly Father when I'm struggling, or when I have to seek forgiveness for a sin, the way that I experience our Heavenly Father in Psalm 103 is that He's warm, that He's slow to anger, He's abounding in steadfast love. He's not going to always chide. He's not going to, you know, treat us according to our sins. He won't, He's warm. He's a warm, loving God. And, you know, as we raise kids who love Jesus, you know, they ask, well, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? What was the whole purpose of it? One word: love. It was His love. And His love towards us. And so I just really want to encourage you with that. If there's one thing, especially those who tend to veer towards, we have to do X, Y, and Z, relational warmth. Let's be warm with our kids. So as we close today, I want us to think about, we got through two questions, and I think...
Oh, wow. Sorry, that took a while.
Well, you know, sometimes when we do these podcast episodes... And we'll do some more Q&A here. We're getting tons of questions. We want you to continue to send the questions in, because they're so helpful. They're super helpful for us. today's questions really were about spiritual growth and spiritual legacy and what, how do we live that out in the everyday? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like between husband and wife? You know, and I think for, you know, for us in the home, it might look different. Christy's faith journey and my faith journey look very different. I, you know, and I could go into that and what that looks like, but at the end of the day, when we are present with our kids and we're relationally warm with our kids and we're teaching them the scriptures, again, I would encourage you to check out 22-6 Parenting because we use the four key times of the day in Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you wake in the morning, there's four, as Moses describes, there's four key times built into the day. We do morning prayers, bedtime questions to ask our kids during bedtime. Use those key times of the day. When you walk along the way, or as today's version of that is drive time, or also dinner time stories. Tell stories to your kids. It's powerful psychologically, spiritually, for the development of our kids. And so check out 22-6 Parenting. But especially if I could encourage you all today as we do this Q&A on this particular episode, focus on your own spiritual journey and receiving the love of the Father. Mm-hmm. What is that one step you need to take in your own spiritual journey? If your concern is the spiritual growth of your kids and you're going, man, what do I have to do to get my kids to know Jesus? Show it to them. Show them why you have Jesus in your heart. Show them your need for him. And when you do that on a regular basis, what it ends up doing is they learn it. They see it because they see it modeled for them.
I think we should just pray. Father, I just ask that you would release a new love for you in the homes of all those who are listening today. I ask that your presence be tangible and felt. I ask that you would come with your grace and mercy, that would be felt and seen and known. I pray that your presence would draw our children to you, but first would draw us to you. May we all be more intentional of getting ourselves in your presence to be still, to listen, and to be quiet. Teach us, Lord. Take us by the hand and lead us in the way of the Master, that we might do the same for our children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Don't forget to go in, submit your questions, leave us some topics. We love journeying with you. We'll see you next week. Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love too if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy or our website drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moments.